Welcome to Spill Radio. This program is being recorded on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I am Tatiana Melma, hosting this program on behalf of the Morrison Helen Belkin Art Gallery at the University of British Columbia. Spill Radio is presented in collaboration with CITR 101.9 FM, with sound production and editing by Joshua Stevenson. Today's episode was recorded during Spill Response, curated by Guadalupe Martinez, that was a live research and performance component of the exhibition Spill. As part of Spill Response, Martinez invited the artist Jay White to organize a guided walk with poet Rita Wong, streamkeeper John Prissel, and Jim Lydon of the Mountain Protectors, along the proposed Kinder Morgan pipeline, noting the streams and rivers affected by proposed and ongoing construction. Their work is part of the grassroots collective Mountain Protectors that includes elders and volunteers who strive to uphold the natural laws of the land by monitoring the construction of the Trans Mountain Pipeline Expansion Project. They are based out of and around Kwakwaka'wakw, the traditional Coast Salish watch house on Burnaby Mountain, which lies within the unceded and traditional territories of the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh. They constitute a vigilant presence on the mountain, motivated by a decolonial ethos that recognizes our shared responsibilities to the lands and waters we live on and around. Jay White is an artist of Mi'kmaq and European descent whose work involves walking and camping along state-defined boundaries and in interstitial suburban and urban areas where property ownership is not enforced. He is interested in altered perceptions of landscape, the interactions between identities and colonial institutions, and the ways that non-human entities become entangled with our human projects. Today's episode includes the pipeline tour, led by John Prissel, with welcomes and contributions provided throughout by Jay White, Rita Wong, and Jim Lydon.
I live in Megalelefum, which is Bowen Island, and I can't do the work I would like to do at home in Newfoundland, so I'm out here and I'm doing my best to honor the laws of these territories, and part of it is just understanding what's happening in things, ways that the lives of humans and other animals are being affected in the water, etc., and I want to do what I can here, basically. My relationship with this place started with when Jen and I started to realize that the proposed pipeline, which was supposed to go up the Lougheed Highway, they changed it so it was sort of not in people's backyards, but was right along salmon-bearing waterways. So we did a project where it's just a collaborative walk where we walked along the proposed pipeline from the Fraser River all the way up the mountain here and down to the terminal a couple times. And we put up, we did some photography work around that too. So Guadalupe invited both of us to do something, and I ended up just suggesting that we come here because this is where everything is kind of coming to a head, and it's the watch house. And I also suggested, I feel like I'm not really, there's a lot of people who have authority and experience here that I don't have. And so I just like to open things up as much as possible, and which is why I asked Rita, the other people who are at the watch house, Jim is up there right now, and John Prissel, to come and offer their wisdom and generosity to us all, pretty much. So I'm here to learn as much as anybody is. And thank you so much for coming.
So this watch house is strategically located on top of the pipeline. As we're walking, you may have noticed those yellow posts. Those posts indicate that underneath the ground, there's basically a pipeline. So in order to expand the pipeline, they would have to take down this watch house. And so there's been an ongoing presence in this watch house since March last year when it was first put up in the big rally. There's about 10,000 people that came up and built this in one day, basically, from one large cedar tree. It's a place of ceremony, and there are a number of guidelines for us as guests or visitors to this place. But one thing that's important to maybe remember to highlight from that is the concept of Natsuma, one heart, one mind, one spirit, so that we're all in this together. So when we do this work to oppose the pipeline, we're not just doing it for our own communities, we're also doing it for the workers who are there, working inside the gates. We're trying to protect their communities as much as ours. And so we do this work in ceremony, and we do it from a place of unity and a place of love. As you probably know, there have been over 200 people arrested over by the either at the gates of the Kinder Morgan Tank Farm or else at the Westridge Marine Terminal. And but you know, beyond the sort of media stuff that needs to happen, the everyday work of just being here and holding the space is really important too. There was a community meeting at the elementary school last week, I think, or a few nights ago. There's a lot of concern in the neighborhood, as you would expect. People who don't feel safe, because if there was an explosion or an accident, that, you know, this place would just go up. SFU has done a thing called the Hike to Survive, the TSSU, the Teaching Support Staff Union at SFU. They're having people to just, they came and visited over the summer, and, you know, if there was a big emergency and this tank farm went up in flames, then, you know, what are the routes to get off of the mountain? That, you know, they wanted to figure that out, because, you know, the plan is basically lock yourself up and wait to get rescued, which isn't really a plan, you know. So the other thing about the tanks, and you may already know this, but a number of them on the map there, you can see, are from 1953. They're not up to contemporary standards of safety, and they have been known to blow and explode, and have this happen in other places. So it's not without, you know, not beyond the realm of possibility that that could happen.
I welcome you here. And it does. It like I said, it takes a village. We need people here to help us with this stuff. And what I always say about photography, I've got thousands, probably about 3,000 photographs now. But what I say about the photography that we do here is you don't know how significant it is at the moment you take the picture. Mm-hmm. It's like the pictures of the trees up here, mm-hmm. they seem to be nothing because there's trees everywhere. Now they've gutted that whole area, and you can see the difference between the trees there and the trees that you're going to see in a few minutes. That's a drone shot of the entire tank farm. We've caught them dumping water, dirty water, into the stream sewers. And I always rely on Johnny. It's a longer understanding of, a better understanding of the connections between the environment ministry and stuff. So a few times I've called him with, "Have you seen this?" You know, he gets out and sees it and ends up becoming a bigger issue than I probably could have made it. You know, so that's good. And I was going to say one other thing that really concerned over the fact that the government, provincial and federal, are complicit in what's going on here. The environment ministry. I mean, when John called the environment ministry about the trees, they said, "Oh yeah, they're not supposed to log within 20 meters of those trees." And then he says they called them back, and they don't even have a permit. But I don't see anything having been done about it. What's happening with that? We need to ask that question. We have constantly. Why are they not down here monitoring what's going on here? Because you'll see when John takes it through, when he's going up north, and there's areas where they've just gutted trees in protected areas, you know, and where is the environment ministry? And that's a question that has to be asked, and will be asked really quickly, I think, once we get our photos together. Yeah, and so they just want to be invisible, you know. And it's going to, as John does this walking, and that pose another question, that we have an area here that's probably, what about, I don't know my acreage, it's 10 or 20 acres of the space that has been contaminated. And they have vacuum trucks sucking the dirty oil out of the ground. They have seen three dumpsters from an outfit called Clean Harbors, and their job is to take and hold and destroy contaminated product. So, how did this company manage to spill enough oil to contaminate 10 acres of land and not know they did it?
They try to sterilize it by saying, well, it's contaminated soil, it's not actually oil. You know, and we all know, anyone who's got grade 9 geography also knows there's shale pockets and stuff that would hold that oil until the time it gets disturbed. You know, so we really need to ask why are they not on top of this, you know? So I'm really concerned with that.
I could add to that about 9-10 months ago when we were having problems here in the creeks. I talked to a senior manager in the Environment Ministry, and she actually outright told me, we have been told to stay away from any of the Trans Mountain properties in the province. And I said, who told you that? Of course, she wouldn't say. But that was actually right from a senior manager, said that all provincial employees have been told to stay away. Last year, and even 2 years ago, I was having a rough time getting even the city of Burnaby to actually go into the creeks to take water samples. And if you're ever up here, I always take pictures. And exactly what Jim says, photos and 4-second videos in the creek, videos, we have, it's mandatory, we have to take them. And it's helped us out so much. It's incredible. Water samples, which I take, but photographs are huge. But literally, that's what came from a senior manager, is all provincial employees have been told to stay away from Trans Mountain properties. And that's how bad it is.
And just to give a baseline of like what normal is in construction practices, I bizarrely have a degree in civil environmental engineering, which I almost never use. But the way it's supposed to work in any kind of construction is there's builders, but there's also an unbiased environmental consulting source who goes in and is constantly monitoring to see what's happening. That should be completely transparent. Everybody should be able to see what those processes are. In this case, these people who are sneaking through the woods in the night taking pictures and trying to get it on social media and calling people up, that's making this happen. This is the environmental consulting we have. These are our unbiased observers, because everybody else has been muted and paid off, shut down, whatever it is. It's not many people. Like, there's a few more, but it's not much. And they've done a tremendous amount of work.
So the question of law comes up, and we're here, like, when people came up to the camp, I'd often tell them, we're not here as protesters, we're actually here as protectors, and we're here to uphold Coast Salish and Indigenous and natural laws. So those laws mean we have a responsibility to take care of the land. And so Jim here is facing 28 days in jail for, opposing this pipeline. I've spent 18 days in jail for my opposition. And, but we argue that what we're upholding, we're the ones who are actually upholding the law. And meanwhile, Kinder Morgan or Trans Mountain is getting fined maybe like $230 a pop, you know, up in Valemont or in other parts of the province. But these fines are ridiculous. And if you look at what, you know, facing 28 days in jail versus $230 in fines, like what kind of law is being upheld and whose law and whose interests? So, you know, it's just really important to remember that we're here to uphold Indigenous and Coast Salish laws that were here before us and are still here and will be here after us.
I'm just going to put now you've opened the unceded territory issue. Trudeau went to the Chilcotin. And he apologized to them, and he said, you were an unceded nation. You had never given your land over to anybody. You had never surrendered to anybody. And what you were doing was not a criminal act. It was an act of war. You were protecting your people, defending your people. You were an unceded land, and you were an independent, sovereign nation. So he takes that statement, he uses it there, and then over here he says, oh, well, we're just putting the pipeline through, and we're going, and that's been our argument in court. We are on unceded land. I was called in by one of the nations to do the work I do to protect this unceded land, to protect. And we have our other Indigenous teachings that everything is related. We're all relatives. I pray to that tree every day. I always advise you, pick one tree, it'll call you. That's your tree. And go to it and pray to it and sit under it, get centered. And we're all related. And like you were talking about, the deer came right up to me up here. And they're just kind of looking at me. It was like, whoa. You know, for a minute, you got to just get centered real quick, because you don't want to do a reaction that'll scare them away. And they sat there for, 5 minutes looking at me. There were three of them. And they walked away, and then a wounded deer came down afterwards. And they were making sure that I was safe, and probably asking me that I would not harm them, right, because they had a wounded deer. Probably got hit by a truck. It looks like its ribs have been broken, and that's that's what we're here for too, right? It's not just us, it's these deer that, you know.
There's a bobcat that's come by, yeah. A bear, you know, there's lots of life.
I'm going to tell a bear story. There's a bear story there. Anyway, yeah, so we're arguing that this is unceded territory and that they never had the right. No one's had the right to come on this territory and conduct themselves the way they did. But it's been allowed, it's been permitted, it's been accepted until it's kind of like, you know, you got a friend who pushes you. He settled. Pushes you again. That's enough. Pushes you again. Well, it's on, you know? And that's what's going on. They pushed us to a point where they want to, everything else is dead. Now they want to kill our ocean, you know? So they want to kill our fish. They worry about the orcas because they're such a great and beautiful animal, but they don't worry. So we're gonna preserve them by changing laws and for navigation, but we're gonna allow them to starve to death at the same time because we haven't protected the salmon, the herring, or the lucan. Anyway,
we call it an importance of place when you get a sense of real importance of place. Why these creeks here are so important to the Salish Sea, and the chum salmon that come up here down the creeks here down a ways, and how much that affects the southern resident orcas. A lot of people don't realize southern resident orcas. They all know about the Chinook salmon. You all think of the failed fishery there, but last 5 or 8 years they've been doing a lot of work, and I'm starting to do a lot of work the last 2 years. On the southern resident orcas actually are feeding to about 10 to 15% of their diet is chum salmon now in the last few years. So I'll fill you in on that a little bit down the road, but that's all these creeks here affect exactly what happens in the southern Salish Sea and the Salish Sea. So we're on the east side of the tank farm here. We actually have pipes going underneath us here. Suncor is, they've got a tank farm towards Port Moody on the northeast side of the mountain. They've been awesome neighbors for decades and decades. We've got Shell. If a bunch of you drove up Underhill at the bottom on East Lake, and just at the bottom of Underhill, and on the way up here over there is the Shell tank farm. They've been awesome neighbors, really easy to work with. Unfortunately, Trans Mountain, not so good. And not a lot better since we bought them out last year. Prime Minister Trudeau, $4.5 billion to start to buy this pipeline now. We all know where that got them so far. We'll find out on election day in a couple days. Please go out and vote, everybody. We are one of the lucky few ones in this world that actually has a clean election system. Please just get out and vote. If you haven't already voted, vote on Monday. And so here what they've done here, in the last almost 2 years, they've cut down 3,000 trees at the tank farm here. We're gonna walk in after this. Literally 20 feet on the other side here where the plastic is one of the Silver Creek tributaries. Silver Creek is one of the, I call it the forgotten salmon creek in Burnaby. Like I said, I've been looking after it, just actually a few of us, for the better part of 20 years. Unfortunately, they had so many problems here, they've diverted and stopped the flow from this little creek right here. They've diverted and severely restricted the flow from Silver Creek tributaries here. They're diverting it over west, over towards Eagle Creek and beyond into their large retention pond that I'll show you about in about a half an hour or so when we're down there. It couldn't have come at a worse time. The reason why they diverted it was we kept catching them silting up the creek here. Silt will kill salmon. It'll kill the cutthroat trout that live in the creek downstream, less than a kilometer downstream. It clogs up their gills. It'll actually, if heavy silt will actually, when the salmon lay their eggs, they'll actually smother the eggs when they make their reds, and which is really sad. So I'm going after them with the National Energy Board that's now called Canada's Energy Regulator. And I've pulled them out on restricting the flow so much in Silver Creek that the salmon can't come up Silver Creek this week. So they've just started to come up.
We don't get huge numbers in Silver Creek. Eagle Creek, we get huge, huge numbers, and lots of hundreds of chum and the odd coho up to about 14 pounds. And we have for about 10 years now. So this used to be a creek right here. 2 years ago, there was two tributaries to Silver Creek on this side going over about 200 meters. When we go up top later, I'll show you and get a better view of it, but you can see what they've done here. They've had nothing but issues here with sediment for 2 years since they started doing this. Sadly, they knocked the last of the trees out about a week and a half ago. Yeah.
Is there some sort of like size class that a stream or river has to be in to have a buffer zone where they actually have to uphold it?
Well, I'll tell you, and there is. Unfortunately, and both these creeks here are called, they're actually listed as at risk. They're actually seriously at risk right now. I'm working with the government and DFO to classify them, not going so well with DFO, but provincially it's going well, to classify these seriously at risk creeks for Salmon Creek. It's really unfortunate. But what's happened, I should have told you a couple of minutes ago, the reason why Trans Mountain is getting away with all this, back in 2013, the federal government, Harper's government, signed a MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding with the provincial government, Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and back then the Federal Environment Ministry, now Environment and Climate Change, I think it's called, and Environment Canada. They signed a Memorandum of Understanding and basically giving the National Energy Board all the powers to be. So this would never be allowed to happen. It'd be front page in the Vancouver Sun tomorrow, who I do a lot of work with, and I've done some front page work with them over this, but unfortunately they are allowed, this is legal, they say. It's not legal, obviously. It's they're destroying two salmon creeks here. And they're gonna, if they're allowed to, with the rest of the expansion, there's about 500 to 700 creeks right to the Alberta border. And I can only say may the creator help them if they let loose on the rest of these creeks. This is ground zero. And if this is what they're doing to our salmon creeks here, you imagine what they're gonna be doing out in the middle of nowhere where nobody is? But so I've called them out on this, and hopefully this last couple of days, this last week, they have the full joint inspection. We're not quite sure yet. I'll hopefully find out in a couple of days. But yeah, there used to be Silver Creek right here, but you see it a little bit better on top. These machines here, they've got large containment, huge containment tanks in the ground to hold the dirty water while they're working there. Well, of course, the Mother Nature always wins, and they overflowed. So they've actually had to bring in all these, and they're all the way along here. These are tanks for water. And they use so they pump them in there. They're supposed to clean them before they go back into the creek, because silt, they know, will kill salmon and cutthroat trout. Not just the cutthroat trout. So we don't actually have salmon up here. We have about a half a kilometer down, just past the golf course over at Eagle Creek, and about a kilometer down here. But it kills all the aquatic bugs. There's about 30 key aquatic bugs and basically zooplankton. Some of you are probably better versed on it than I am, that the salmon and cutthroat trout feed on. Unfortunately, and they come from trees and natural areas and stuff like this, they wiped this area out in 1953, by the way. So all the trees that they cut down were, they're getting 60, 70 years old and more. Unfortunately, what happens, this is critical salmon habitat for the aquatic bugs and organisms. And that's what I've been calling them out for. That goes downstream, and downstream the salmon and fish feed on it. And but you'll see how, literally, when we, in a little bit, you'll see how devastating it is. It looks like a war zone up there. It is that bad. And has anybody ever been to a clear cut? And you'll see them trying to save their asses today with vacuum trucks in the creek. They got vacuum trucks because they know we're here, they know I'm here, they know we have monitors here all the time. And they got vacuum trucks lining up, cleaning the messy creek out that they have to, before it goes down and we see it. And so far the creeks have been clean, but if one of those trucks breaks down, they're in trouble today. And then we'll be here. Eh? So the salmon come up right now over the next 5-6 weeks here, 7-8 weeks. They lay their eggs, and literally not that far down the road here, in Eagle Creek, and then they lay in the reds, we call them, the reds, fill them up again, but the silt, that's what I have the province, the National Energy Board measuring now all the way down. So they're actually measuring, and it's a pain in the ass to do it, but they actually have, and we're doing it as well, but measuring the silt levels because we haven't from the last 3 years now. And that's a long way to go, but we have to outsmart. My deal for the last 5 years has been to be three steps ahead of Trans Mountain. I have to stay three steps ahead of them. And for many years, it was just by myself. The last couple of years, we've had lots of help, and thanks to a bunch of people here, and which is really good. But we have to get them at their own game. We have to get them under the conditions. Trans Mountain is under strict conditions, 157 of them, but literally thousands of bylaws that we have to abide by. They've totally failed miserably. And I've called out the National Energy Board. They are actually corrupt. They're about as corrupt as you could ever imagine. I've been saying that in the media for the last 2 years. Worked with them for 6 years now. And they just deny everything, the National Energy Board, now Canada Energy Regulator. And it's not looking much better. They've only been there since August 28th, but yeah. And my job and our job is to make sure that they, while they're doing this nasty, nasty work, that we make sure they're doing it right. And they're not. Not a lot of people have been up here. You can get up here in like 10 minutes, so there's not a lot of people. I have a rough time getting media up here. Really not that far. It's a couple minutes off of Lougheed, right? You know, but yeah. Let's go take a look around. All these areas here, we're going to have tanks right up here. They're starting on the lower one here. Right here, on the left-hand side here, like 10 meters from the fence, not even. That used to be Silver Creek right here. One of the Silver Creek tributary right here. Yeah, and look at it now. And then they got rid of, there's two tributaries that kind of crisscross here, really weird. You can see them in the old photos where the trees were. Totally gone now. Yeah, what do you think of that? So I immediately look for if they're breaking any rules right now. So I'm looking underneath those excavators. I'm looking for any garbage. I'm looking for anything and everything right now to catch them on a non-compliance. After like 3 years of studying their sediment control plan, which under law they have to abide by, their environmental control plan, and that's what I've been catching them at, and that's how I shut them down. Literally, that's the only way I can shut these people down. And also, when catching them in the creek, with good help of Jim and everybody. But, so I will take pictures here every time I'm up here. I'll take close-ups of every single vehicle down there, the vehicles here. I want to make sure they're everything, they've got their right containment things underneath their all the excavators. Quite often you can't see all of it, you know, and this is new though, fairly new here, this office here, this trailer. But yeah, it used to be a salmon creek right here 2 years ago. This is Eagle Creek proper. That really should be flowing quite a bit more by now. But most of it's going into the pond right here. This is a really massive pond.
This flooded out last year. Man.
Last year, this flooded out really bad. I had all the media here. It was so bad here that it flooded out this whole area over here. Wiped out the trail down here. All the brand new gravel that they laid down for the trail. And right into the creek. We had everybody here. I was so bad, I was worried about, we got a big berm here. Big, huge berm's about 5 meters high, 4 to 5 meters high. And that holds back this massive containment pond. The containment pond, it was so bad last year, I took a bunch of photos because I was worried it was gonna overflow, and the provincial government came with their dam inspectors and dike inspectors. They immediately came, tested it all out. I didn't hear back from them, but that was pretty cool. One of the big, like I said, one of the concerns that we have now, of course, is the sediment even after they're finished here. they're supposed to remediate everything. They're going to plant a bunch of trees up there, they say. But there's actually going to be tanks right here. It's going to be 14 more tanks. And, yeah, unfortunately, it's... But a lot of people didn't realize, but they wiped out, when they cut these trees down, about 1,200 meters of the creek. And you wouldn't think that's a lot for 1,200 meters, but I always like to say it in, you know, in bug terms and aquatic organisms, there is a lot of aquatic organisms that were here. So we do testing. We'll do some testing. The provincial government's actually done some testing right here in the last couple of weeks, and then downstream. So hopefully we'll hear from that in the next 3 or 4 weeks maybe. But when the shit hits the fan, it's the first place we come. We come right here, take water samples, take pictures here, and then I go down by the golf course down here about 700 meters, 600 meters, and that comes straight out of the containment pond. And you can see the containment pond right from here, right there. It's huge. And you can see they have, finally, this last month or two, they've got oil slick booms around here to and sediment control. If you come right over here, you can actually see the size of that pond. Come right over here. If you come right near the log, you can see into the pond clearly today. Further down, you can see it. In 2009, we had a really bad oil spill here. One of the tanks up here, the containment pond caught it all. A friend of mine from the North Shore Wetland Partners Society was called in to look after the ducks with another company, Focus, I can't remember what they're called, and Wildlife Rescue. And they pulled a few ducks out of here, but they were lucky that there was no rain involved in that containment pond. So they had to clean the whole containment pond. They had to empty it, ship all this crap out, wherever they put it, and redo it. But the frogs are back every summer. We hear the frogs in there. The ducks are in there. The hawks always around there. It's a pretty cool little area, but you can see all the yellow. They're using it for sediment, but they're actually oil slick booms because, as Jim says up here, they are unearthing this contaminated, that's got hydrocarbons in it, the soil, so that's coming down in here. And they actually have a skimmer on top here. Yeah, they're skimming that, so hopefully it's not going into the creek, so we'll see, but yeah, it's kind of a mess.
Some of you may have heard this water song. We've sung it at just about every arrest and every action at these gates and at the Westridge Marine Terminal. And it's a song that's gifted to us and gifted to everybody. So there are some songs we cannot sing, but this is a song that we are welcomed, you are welcome to share, and we are encouraged to sing together. So it's four times we sing it, and it starts off kind of slow and gentle, like the headwaters of a creek, and then the second part of it moves a little faster, like the Salish Sea. And it's in the language of the water spirits, is how I've been told. And yeah, I'll just start singing it, and if you'd like to join me, please do. Wishita do ya do ya do ya. Wishita do ya do ya hey. Wishita do ya do ya do ya. Wishita do ya do ya hey. Wishita me ya hey ya hey. Wishatanea, hey ya, hey ya. Wishatanea, hey ya, hey ya. Wishatanea, hey ya, hey ya. Wishita do ya, do ya, do ya. Wishita do ya, do ya, do ya, hey. Wishita do ya, do ya, do ya. Wishita do ya, do ya, hey. Wishatanea, hey ya, hey ya. 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 Wishita do ya, do ya, do ya. Wishita do ya, do ya. Wishita do ya, do ya, do ya. Wishita do ya, do ya, hey. Wishita hey ya, hey ya, hey ya. Wishita hey ya, hey ya, hey.
Last time, loud together.
To help spread the word and support the surveillance efforts of the Mountain Protectors, please follow their Facebook page and Instagram and visit their actionnetwork.org website for fundraising.